You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tonight after 7, it's Storytelling with a Beat on Snap Judgment. Tonight's stories center on the nuclear family and how it might be changing. That's tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network. First, at the tail end of summer, parents and kids might start to wonder if the time off was well spent. Each year, questions about how much of the summer should be spent outdoors, on screen, preparing for the next academic year start to come up. The summer of 2016 has been the summer of Pokemon Go, and the wildly popular mobile app has changed how some parents might think about recreation for kids. The augmented reality game allows screen time and outdoor time to kind of coexist. So in a world where child's play went from something that only took a ball, an empty field, and a lot of imagination to playing video games, are augmented reality games like Pokemon Go a healthy medium? My next guest calls himself the Mediatrician. Dr. Michael Rich is a pediatrician and founder and director of the Center on Media and Child Health at Boston Children's Hospital at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Rich, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So I think a lot of parents are in the boat. My kid's on a screen playing this Pokemon Go game, but they're outside wandering around in the neighborhood. Do you see this as any kind of significant improvement for worried parents over on a screen on a couch?
Well, you know, I think it's different. I don't think it's necessarily better or worse. There are positives and negatives, as there are for many things that kids decide to do. I'd rather have my kid out running around than sitting on the couch, but they're not running around looking up at the trees and enjoying nature and connecting with each other. They're looking through their phone at imaginary creatures that are populated there by a video game maker. So I think that this is a mixed blessing. In other words, they're getting outside and they're moving around. And I've actually had my own patients who have lost weight by playing Pokemon Go. It's the one way they got up and moving. But the other side of it is that it does place them at risk for a number of hazards, including a seven-year-old who one of my staffers pulled out from the front of an oncoming truck in the dark because he was chasing a Pokemon, to people that you've heard about, I'm sure, that have fallen off cliffs and ended up in criminal situations because they were lured there to be mugged.
Well, I know reading some of the work you've done, it seems like you're in the middle ground on a lot of things. You're not completely opposed to a kid playing a computer game or watching a TV show or this and that. It's more a matter of how much and what the content is. We need to have a more nuanced view of a lot of things, in short.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that we can't take the Luddite approach of, you know, turn off the screens and, you know, go back to the woods like Thoreau. I think we have to understand that this is the new real for us. This is the new normal. We are communicating, connecting, educating, using these devices. The key is what media we use and how we use them, not just for how long, but in what context and to what end. We just have to recognize that these are important and very powerful tools, but they're tools that have to be used mindfully and in focused ways to move us in the directions we want to move and not just to either divert ourselves and kill time or to do things that inadvertently may harm us.
One concern I've heard has to do with imagination in childhood. When I was a kid, we'd go out and make up great stories, and all we had was an old towel and some rocks or something like that. And kids would use their imagination to build stories or activities around it. Now, even in what looks like a really imaginative landscape of a computer game or something like that, you're still playing in someone else's imagination and figuring out the rules that they've set for you. How do you weigh those?
Absolutely. You've nailed it directly. You're not using your imagination. You are reacting to someone else's pre-imagined scenario. I think that we have, with the ease and access of all of these tools, developed a deep aversion to boredom. And boredom is what gave rise to the imagination that you came up with stories with your towel and rocks or made shapes out of the clouds with. And one of the things that we see time and time again from history is that space that we call boredom is where creativity happens, because you need that space to move into with new ideas and what ifs and try things out. But if you're busy responding to a little purple animal hopping in front of you, you don't have the time to ask those questions or even the space to let your imagination sail.
What I wonder as a heavy reader myself and wanting my kids to read is, okay, if they've picked up a novel, well, then they're playing in someone else's imagination in that way, too. I think it's time well spent. Is there something fundamentally different about reading fiction versus playing, maybe not Pokemon Go, but a well-realized computer game, video game landscape?
Of course, because when you read Moby Dick and when I read Moby Dick, we see two entirely different movies in our heads. We know different characters because we bring ourselves, our life experience, our perspective, our understanding to those words on a page. After all, they are just marks on paper. And what we're doing is decoding them and creating that world in our heads. And you know that every time you go to see a movie of a book you liked and you're disappointed by it because it's not the movie you saw when you read the book.
Talking to Dr. Michael Rich. He's a pediatrician. He's with the Center on Media and Child Health at Boston Children's Hospital at Harvard Medical School, talking about the games kids play, the way they play, their imagination, and if we're losing something in a digital age without that kind of free play time. Dr. Rich, what's a parent to do in some ways? How do we make sure that we section off some of that free play time for a kid away from screens and, I guess, away from soccer practice, music lessons, academic enrichment, that kind of thing?
Exactly. I mean, we are also guilty of overscheduling our kids and sort of building a type A personality from infancy on. But I think that there are two things we can do, and perhaps the most important thing is that we can model responsible and mindful use of our media tools. You know, we can't sit there and say, stop playing Pokemon Go while we're busy, you know, texting and responding to emails on our smartphones. So I think that's the first thing, is that we need to learn to live with these media and model that for our children. I think the second thing is that we can't just say, no, 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 turn it off, but we have to provide alternatives for them. And we need to get them outside doing things first with us and then hopefully on their own. Show them the joys of, you know, taking a walk in the woods or going rock climbing or building a treehouse, all those things that you did when you were a kid. This is not just nostalgia. This is an opportunity to, first of all, understand engineering in the most basic way. If you build a treehouse and you fall out of that tree because you didn't build it right, you learn how to engineer things. But also it's about social-emotional learning, learning to work with others, work things out in the sandlot, baseball game, etc. So I think that what we do when we move into these predetermined choice situations that are created by video games is that we seed all of that, not just the problems, but the problem solving to those who wrote that software.
Modeling, you just mentioned, the idea that if we want our kids to go off screens, we have to go off screens ourselves. I keep hearing that again and again from people who are parenting experts. The way we behave in front of kids is much more productive than the battle with the kids over whatever it is.
Absolutely. They hear 1% of what we say, but they hear 100% of what we do.
Now, I wonder, I feel better if my kids are doing a thing on a screen together with each other, with friends, with a family. If it's a social thing of watching the soccer game on TV or participating in a game together. Am I foolish or is there something positive about that?
No, there's something positive about that. And in fact, there's good research showing that, for example, a tablet in every student's hand is not as good as a tablet in every two students' hands.
Huh.
because you are learning to share, you're learning to bounce ideas off each other, you're learning to question things or play around with ideas, manipulate ideas when you're working together on something. And the same thing happens, if you think about it, watching a soccer game or, you know, watching a movie together, which is that it's the opportunity to spark conversation, questions, and allow you to have a social life around it. And this is one of the reasons why I don't say turn off the TV or don't watch videos, is because those are our shared cultural experience, not just within families, but across a society. And we need that the same way that in Renaissance Europe, the Roman Catholic Church was the place where the noblemen and the peasants got together once a week. And these are the kind of things that bind us together as a culture. So I think that we just need to be conscious and aware of how we're using them, in what context, and with whom. And I think that we can learn to live with them with these media in ways that really enhance our lives and make us stronger and better.
Talking to Dr. Michael Rich. He's a pediatrician and founder and director of the Center on Media and Child Health at Boston Children's Hospital at Harvard Medical School, talking about how imaginative play has changed over the years for kids when we have computer games, console games, now mobile games like Pokemon Go, and moved away in many ways from unstructured playtime for kids. We want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. Do you worry about this change, this lack of free, unstructured time for kids? Do you think kids have too much time on screens? Or is it not so much how much, but what they're doing, how they're doing it, who they're doing it with? Are there rules in your house for Pokemon Go or the computer game or the TV watching? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or do you see positive ways to use this technology? Again, 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. More coming up. Maybe we'll hear from you here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. I'm picking up the conversation now with Dr. Michael Rich, pediatrician and founder and director of the Center on Media and Child Health at Boston Children's Hospital at Harvard Medical School, talking about how imaginative play is changing for kids, especially in an age of computer games, mobile games now like Pokemon Go, moving away maybe from unstructured playtime for kids. Well, is that how it is in your family? Have you seen that change through the generations? Or are the kids all right with what they're doing? Call 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, how do you manage these issues of technology and playtime? If you're a kid, what do you think? Do you need to take time to put away the, I don't know, phone, tablet, console, computer game, whatever, and get outside? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go now to Dustin on the line in Chautauqua. Dustin, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I'm 28 years old and I got four kids, and I'm getting scared because when I was growing up, we didn't have cell phones, we didn't have tablets, computers, anything like that. And I mean, I'm not that old, but I'm just getting worried that kids these days are younger and younger having cell phones and all the problems that they can get into with them.
And Dustin, did you have a Nintendo or some other console game? You're about the right age for that.
I had to mow lawn, do dishes, babysit for about 4 or 5 months, and then my grandma kicked in the other half. I had to save enough money.
We're losing you, Dustin, but I get it. You had to earn your Super Mario. Thank you so much for calling. So, Dr. Rich, this idea of younger and younger kids having phones in particular, this is a question that a lot of parents are dealing with. There are upsides. There are downsides. First of all, age appropriate. When should people start thinking about a phone for a kid or not thinking about it at all?
Well, I think that the sort of standard rule for not just phones, for any of these devices or applications of media devices is, at what age does the child need this very powerful tool, and at what age can that child use it in ways that are healthy and safe for her or him? In other words, look at them as tools, not as something everybody has to have, which is unfortunately the way they've been marketed to us, or something that is necessary for safety reasons, which is another way that phones in particular have been marketed to children, but more to say, when is this child going to need the phone? And when you decide that the child is ready for it, both in terms of his or her need as well as his or her ability to take responsibility, then you sit down with them and you lay out the rules before they get the phone. They know what the rules are, what they're allowed to do, what they shouldn't be doing, and they also, with you, decide on the consequences when those rules get superseded. So give up the phone for a week or whatever that might be. But as long as the rules are laid out up front, it's like anything. You know, you give a kid a power tool the first time, and they may make mistakes with it. And, you know, you give them a little freedom, you pull back with it. And this is much like that power tool. It is a powerful tool, but it's something you could get hurt with.
Thanks for the call, Dustin. We'll go next to Jeff on the line in Hales Corners. Jeff, hi.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for taking my call. My question is more kind of a general one. I have two sons that are too young right now for anything, 8 weeks old and 2 years old. And 2 year old has a lot of unstructured play. But he also gets some time to watch some shows now and again. I don't want to pretend that, you know, television doesn't exist or that our iPhone doesn't exist. But with the studies now, it kind of, no screen time under two hours after 2 years. It's like it teaches me that, or kind of tells you that they shouldn't watch TV at all. They're at 2 years old. If you watch more than 2 hours, you're going to damage them when they're 19 and 20 going to college. My question is, how much validity is there to, you know, is just the balance right? I know, not, don't want to sit in front of the TV for 8 hours. So I guess the balance between the two.
Jeff, thanks for the call. And as I understand it, Dr. Rich, general recommendations for the under twos, he's right, for his 8-week-old, no TV is generally the recommendation for anybody under two. Is that right?
Yes, that recommendation was originally generated in the era of television alone, and it is possibly moving in response to interactive screens, which seem, at least at the first bit of research is indicating, may have more use with younger children, because you're connecting not just, you know, just passively watching something, but you're connecting your mind, your eyes, your fingers, you're making things happen. Now, as with television, though, what's on that interactive screen matters more than the fact that you're using it. There's nothing inherently toxic about television or a tablet. It's the content that they're using and what it might be displacing, which is what the real concern with, you know, video games versus unstructured play are. And what's happened is that we have devalued or not even noticed unstructured play. That's just been space that's been taken up by these screens. So I wouldn't be fearful of screen time. There's no evidence that that, for example, putting your 1.5-year-old in front of the television is, you know, toxic to the child. The problem is that it is a less rich environment for their brain development, for their social development, and for their physical development than is doing the alternative, which might just be sitting around and watching the rainfall on the trees outside or chasing the dog around.
Talking to Dr. Michael Rich. He's a pediatrician and expert on children and media. And Dr. Rich, you were starting to touch on the idea of paying attention to the quality, not just the quantity of media. So what is a more positive thing for a kid to take in, whether we're talking TV or a computer game of some sort?
Well, there are some excellent television series, programs that have been going on for years. Sesame Street has long been proven to be excellent with kids in the developmental stage that it's designed for, which is 3 to 5, the preschool age group. And those kids who are watching educational TV, watching Sesame Street as opposed to entertainment TV, are more ready for school with pre-math and pre-reading skills. And interestingly, most robustly, they live in a more diverse and tolerant world. They see the world differently because everybody's on Sesame Street. So there's good content out there, but good content is very hard and expensive to create because Sesame Street is created with a lot of advanced research, a lot of research that goes into how did they respond, and they're constantly tweaking it and making it work better as an educational and life-enhancing content. And that kind of material can be done in interactive media as well. And there are a few companies that are doing that, but not as many as are looking simply at how many eyeballs can we glue to the screen, how much advertising can we sell, how much product can we sell. And what I think we need to do as a society, both as consumers and as producers, is to understand there's more than one bottom line. It's not just the dollars you can generate. It's also the change in individuals and society that are generated by these media.
It's a good place to leave it, Dr. Rich. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Dr. Michael Rich. He's a pediatrician and founder and director of the Center on Media and Child Health at Boston Children's Hospital. That's at Harvard Medical School. He talked to us about imaginative play and unstructured playtime for children in the digital age. Still time to share your thoughts on the subject and your experiences on it at the Central Time Facebook page. Interact with your screen just a bit more. Let us know how technology happens in your home. When you do watch TV with a kid, do you watch it together? What do you watch? Do you prefer some things over another? Do you play computer or console games or Pokemon Go, what have you? Do you do it with your kids together? And how do you set limits? Again, that's at the Central Time Facebook page. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.